It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take the tap and ahead for Nudibara out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. It is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019, and it's my official duty to welcome you in to episode 114 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to December. We have an exciting slate of games for Ohio State starting here as tomorrow. So we got a lot to start looking ahead to. The last couple of weeks for the basketball program, in case you haven't been paying too close of attention, although judging by the number of downloads that we're starting to get and the number of clicks that we're getting, you guys are paying attention. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for reading. Thank you for clicking. But the last couple of weeks have been, there's been a bit of a lull in the schedule. Now, they've obviously still been playing games. They just have not been against what you would consider marquee opponents. Ohio State's last four games have come against teams ranked number 319, 214, 108, and 294 in the KenPom.com national rankings. But that's all about to change starting Wednesday night when Ohio State goes to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to go face the Tar Heels, number 12 in KenPom. And then they come home on Saturday, face Penn State. It's a really good Penn State team if you've not been paying attention. They're 24th in KenPom. They'll have 8 days off for finals, then they'll go to Minnesota on December 15th, number 67 nationally. And then the last dud, or whatever you want to call it on the schedule, then they'll host Southeast Missouri State on Tuesday, December 17th, the number 298 team in the nation. So get excited for that one. But then after that, it's all dangerous from there. You go play Kentucky in Las Vegas on December 21st. You go play West Virginia in Cleveland on December 29th. And then we're into the Big Ten, full on into the Big Ten. So everything is about to ramp up here as we now have flipped the calendar into December. It's Chris Holtmann has called this the most challenging month most challenging schedule he's seen in his coaching career as far as like a specific month goes. I do feel like he says that fairly often. Like, this is the most challenging stretch of games we've ever had. I know I've written that at least two or three times in the first couple of years. Maybe it just keeps getting topped every year. But this is, hyperbole aside, this is a significant challenge for Ohio State. This is a significant slate of games that they now have to cope with. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they handle it coming off of 2 weeks of basically not being tested. So on this podcast here, we're going to get into a little bit of just sort of taking some stock of where we think Ohio State is as they head into this North Carolina game. And then we'll dive into to what we think we might see on Wednesday night at the Dean Dome. I, for one, am thrilled for this game. I can't wait to watch this. I hope you're enjoying the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Pretty good one last night between Miami and Illinois. Really good games tonight, Tuesday night, Duke, Michigan State, Michigan, Louisville. Love this event. One of my favorite things of the year. So hopefully you're enjoying it as much as I am. We're going to get into real quick now our poll question for this podcast. I threw this out on Twitter yesterday because I was just crunching some numbers, and we'll get into this a little more as the podcast goes on. But this is a pretty good 3-point shooting Ohio State team. And I threw out as the poll question yesterday, who do you think will be the Buckeyes' best 3-point shooter percentage-wise at season's end? And I put four options on there, and it was the four most accurate shooters to this point of the season. Dwayne Washington is at 51.9%, Luther Muhammad's at 44.4%, Andre Wesson's at 42.1%, and Caleb Wesson is at 40 even. And the overwhelming favorite in the poll question, 70% of you who responded picked Dwayne Washington to be the most accurate 3-point shooter at season's end. He came in first, running away with this one. Andre Wesson came in second at 15%. Caleb came in third at 8%, and Luther Muhammad came in fourth at 7%. Look for another poll question. I'm planning right now to record another podcast tomorrow night, which actually technically might end up being Thursday morning because the Ohio State Carolina game is a 9:30 p.m. tip. So I'm planning on recording something probably from my hotel room, which would probably be in the early hours Thursday morning. So look for, if you're around, I might try to throw up a post-game poll question, but that just might not be feasible given the time and whether anybody will be awake or not. But at any rate, be listening for that next podcast that should drop Thursday sometime as I'm traveling back home. Shout out to a very loyal reader, Doug Hartman, who's a 1971 OSU grad who lives in Pebble Beach, California. Sent me a very nice email this week, and I just wanted to say that I appreciated that. Please, if you have questions or comments or anything, you can always reach out to me. Shoot me an email, ajardy@dispatch.com. I'm always looking for ideas and always willing to talk to other people who are passionate about Ohio State basketball and what's going on in the program right now. So thank you, Doug, regular emailer, regular reader. Thank you for that. I do want to remind everybody that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast, and that way you won't miss an episode. Coming to you multiple times a week now, so if you're subscribed, it'll just pop right up onto your phone, tablet, whatever. We're on Apple, Stitcher, Google, whatever you use to find the world's finest podcast, you'll also find us there. So please subscribe, and if you would, favorable reviews, 5-star comments are sincerely appreciated. So thank you to those of you who have taken the time, and thank you to those of you who I know are going to do that now and make it a December to remember here on the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast. Now we're going to take a real quick break, and when we get back, let's take some stock of this team. When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years, one such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you and you will know when it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com. Okay, so like I said at the top of the podcast, I was interested when I was just kind of going over the stats, and sometimes you get so bogged down in the game by game, you need to kind of just take a step back and look at what the numbers say and look at where the team actually is, as opposed to focusing on this game or that game. This is a better shooting three-point team than I expected Ohio State to have this year. When you think about the guys that they had last year, you had a team that they could shoot the three, but not a team that was going to beat you by shooting the three. And as it stands right now on Tuesday, Ohio State is shooting 39.7% from three. That is 25th best in the nation. And they've got help from a number of guys in doing that. We mentioned Luther and Dwayne and Caleb and Andre. DJ Carton's shooting 31% as a freshman. Kyle Young is 1-for-3. I don't think you're going to see him shoot a lot. CJ Walker's shooting 38.5%. Justin Arnes is shooting 41.2%, albeit in sort of limited action. He's primarily playing late in games or in games that are already decided. He hasn't really had to take an important three-pointer yet this year, but he's come on after kind of a slow start to the season. So you have a lot of guys that you can put on the court that are forcing teams to pay attention to them. And when you talk about the new three-point line this year, and obviously you're shooting it from a little bit further back, that was such a big talking point going into the season, is how would this affect teams? How would this impact offenses? And we talked a lot about assuming that three-point percentages would go down, because it's obviously going to be a little bit more challenging. Maybe some guys don't take quite as many. But you would think it would open up some space for maybe some guys to drive, maybe Caleb Wesson inside. And I think what we've seen with this Ohio State team is it has helped create some more space. You've seen guys get to the rim a little bit more frequently. Some of that is that DJ Carton and CJ Walker can do that, but they have a few more options and a few more lanes to get there because teams are having to pay more attention to the Ohio State's three-point shooting. I did not expect them to be this good of a shooting team, and I wrote about this on Buckeye Extra. This went up on Monday, where I just a couple of things, like if you haven't been paying attention to basketball until now, here's a couple of things that you might notice. And when I talk about how well they shoot, I looked it up, and so Ohio State last season was the number 184 three-point shooting team in the nation. Luther Muhammad, last year, among players who shot 50 or more three-pointers for Ohio State, he was the most accurate three-point shooter for Ohio State last year at 37.5%. And on this year's team, if he shoots that number would place him seventh on this year's team. Now, granted, these numbers are all going to change when they start playing more significant competition. I don't necessarily expect them to finish as the nation's number 25 three-point shooting team, but I do think it bodes well that they're knocking down shots right now and forcing teams to pay attention to that. That's been a surprise for me as we've gone into the early part of the season, that this is a pretty decent shooting team. On the other end of the court, this might be a pretty good defense. They enter today ranked second nationally in the KenPom rankings in adjusted defensive efficiency. So per 100 possessions, they'd be allowing 84.8 points per game. And that's second best. The only team that's better than that is Virginia, which has just been like stupid good on defense. I mean, they held a team to 24 points. They've held multiple teams under, it's like to 40 or fewer. Virginia, I have some questions about them because for as good as that defense is, they got to score. And I don't know how good of an offense they have, which is the ongoing question with Virginia. But I think this year it might be even a little more pronounced. They might really struggle to score when they get into league play. But this Ohio State team right now is shaping up to be among the best that they've ever had. And again, some of that is, I'm sure, just a factor of who they've played at this point in the season. But I do think it's worth noting. I mean, you look at that 25-point win against Villanova. Villanova has the number three offense in the nation, according to KenPom. And Ohio State just destroyed them. I mean, it was a 76-51 win. They were never in that game. Ohio State just they couldn't make shots against Ohio State. You're seeing guys like Luther Muhammad and Dwayne Washington become even better defenders. I think Luther has taken it to another level. I think Dwayne is starting to get there. Holtman will regularly describe C.J. Walker as a plus defender. He's been better than expected on that end. Caleb has been better out on the perimeter, handling ball screens, being put in those kinds of difficult situations. You're seeing just more guys make more pronounced impacts on that end of the court. And this doesn't even take into account like Andre Wesson missing a couple of games with the eye injury and still kind of feeling his way back into things. I still think he's probably one of their two best defenders maybe. And just with his versatility and his athleticism, I like what he brings to them on the defensive end. And yeah, this team they've shown some pretty good things. And when you start looking at like history and things like that, like Stetson earlier in the season, and granted Stetson is the worst team on the schedule. They're number 319 in KenPom. KenPom goes back to 2002. Stetson shot 22.9% from two against Ohio State. That's the third lowest mark that Ohio State has allowed in the history of KenPom, which goes back to 2002. So they've done a pretty good job. Let's see how that holds up against the likes of Carolina and Penn State and Kentucky as we go through this month. But early signs right now, I mean, you would expect, I feel like in the past you would maybe expect there to be a letdown game somewhere in there where maybe a Kent State really pushes them like down to the wire. And Kent State played really well against Ohio State, and they tied it at 48 with about 10 minutes to go, and they scored 4 points the rest of the way. I mean, no team has scored more than 57 points on Ohio State to this point in the season. And I feel like you would expect teams to have a game here or a game there where they do hit a bunch of shots and Ohio State ends up winning 90-70. That hasn't happened. I think that's a pretty good indicator what this team has going forward. Caleb is up to number 9 in the KenPom.com National Player of the Year rankings, which is something to keep an eye on. He leads the team, or is tied for the team lead, in individual plus-minus, a team best 3 times. Now, I keep these stats and update them after every game. He has the best plus-minus on the team at plus 134. So in order, the best plus-minus rankings on the team. Caleb is at 134, C.J. Walker at 121, D.J. Carton at 117, Dwayne Washington at 114, and Kyle Young at 109. So that's plus-minus can be somewhat of a misleading stat. I don't like looking at it for just like one game or two games necessarily, but when you start using it over a longer period of time, it starts to give you a little bit more of a picture of who's playing well and who's doing what. Those are the guys through 7 games that have the best plus-minus. Ohio State's national rankings continue to climb in the national rankings. I tripped all over that sentence. The Buckeyes are up to number 6 in the Associated Press poll. It's the highest ranking since 2014. In Monday's updated bracketology on ESPN.com, Joe Lunardi has them as a 2 seed in Cleveland, playing in the East. He has 8 Big Ten teams in the tournament, and Michigan is the number 1 seed. Wolverines they might be for real. We'll see tonight when they play Louisville in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, but what an impressive weekend or holiday week that was for the Wolverines. And I admit to maybe being a little bit wrong on them coming into the season. I thought there were too many question marks to pick them as a legit Big Ten title contender. But I think right now, I think the 3 clear favorites for the Big Ten title are Ohio State, Maryland, and Michigan, in whatever order you want to put them. So kudos to Juwan Howard. That guy's got some things rolling very early at Michigan. That's pretty impressive. And ESPN also bumped them up from number 8 to number 4 in their power rankings on Monday. BetOnline.ag improved Ohio State's odds to win the national championship. And on July 16th, Ohio State was given 33-1 odds. Now it's 22-1. And it's also clear as we look at this team that as we're just continuing to take stock on where they are, that the rotation is it gets tight. When you look at like the Kent State game and you look at who is playing for Ohio State in important times, Holtman isn't going to go much further than 8 deep. I think we can look at that Kent State game, which was obviously a game that they knew they could not afford to lose. And you're playing in St. John, you're playing an in-state team, and Kent State gave them a significant second half push. But you had the same starting five, and then you had Andre Wesson, DJ Carton, and EJ Liddell come off the bench. So you had 8 players see action in the game. Everybody played at least 20 minutes, and that's, I think, what you're going to see more of going forward. I think it's clear right now that the battle for that 9th spot in the rotation is between, it seems like, Alonzo Gaffney and Justin Arnes, both of them working through various things. Alonzo just the continued maturation process, and Justin continuing to come back from the back injury. So those guys clearly seem to be battling for that 9th spot. I think maybe Justin might have a slight edge right now, because when he gets in there, you know that teams have to pay attention to his 3-point shooting. But it was worth noting that in the Morgan State game last Friday, Zoe played. He got some significant run there, finished with 7 rebounds. And Holtman said on his radio show Monday that they're starting to learn with him that if they give him very specific tasks, like, okay, your job is to rebound and you got to play defense. I said they think he's starting to latch on to some of that, maybe embrace a role like that. If he can do that, that's a significant boost for Ohio State. And you like that athleticism coming to the glass when he's 6'9 and can basically jump out of the gym. Another stat that I keep. Ohio State, I track lineups, and I've talked about it on here. I write about it a lot. But Ohio State has only used 3 lineups for more than 10 total minutes through 7 games. And I don't have a comparison for this back to previous years, because I'd have to go back and add it all up, and I haven't had time to do that. But I think it's interesting, and it might make Ohio State a little bit more difficult to scout if you're an opposing team or if you're Roy Williams, because they've thrown a lot of different lineups out and a lot of different combinations, but only 3 of them have really played significant minutes, and if you even want to call it that. The most significant is the starting lineup, and that's the lineup that has started the last 6 games, where you got C.J. Walker, Luther Muhammad, Dwayne Washington, Kyle Young, and Caleb Wesson. That lineup has played nearly 3 times as much as any other lineup. Those guys have scored 116 points and allowed 70, which is a plus 46 rating in 48 minutes and 54 seconds. The only other 2 lineups to see more than 10 minutes, there's the initial starting lineup, which was if you replace Dwayne Washington with Andre Wesson, that lineup played 12 minutes and 27 seconds in the opener, but then it's only played 48 seconds since. It played 48 seconds against Morgan State, allowed 14 points and scored 18. So that's one of the 3, but it's only played 48 seconds in the last 6 games. The other lineup that's seen decent minutes: DJ Carton, Dwayne Washington, Andre Wesson, EJ Liddell, and Kyle Young. That lineup's played in 4 of the 7 games, totaling 15 minutes and 47 seconds. Scored 34 points and allowed 16. It was big in the Kent State game. Scored 18 and allowed 11 in 8 minutes and 19 seconds. It was just shy. The starters played 8 minutes and 34 seconds in that game. So that was a key lineup that Holtman relied on heavily in that game. And that's the only other lineup to break 15 minutes on the season. So I expect that will probably tighten up as we get a little bit further here into the schedule. But I think that gives you a little bit more of an indicator of which guys they're looking at primarily, who they're leaning on, and who they're probably going to lean on more as they get closer to as they get into the more significant portion of the schedule. One other stat to throw at you before we take a break and we kind of all process all this before we move on. Cincinnati led Ohio State for 22 minutes and 1 second in the season opener. Since then, Ohio State has trailed for a total of 13 minutes and 52 seconds in its last 6 games. So how much adversity have they truly faced to this point? And how does that affect this Carolina game? We're going to get into that right after this break.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score, because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked to order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
So it's stating the obvious that this is the biggest game of the season to this point for Ohio State. I mean, we expected the Cincinnati game to be a big game, the Villanova game to be a big game, and they were to certain extents, but this was always going to be a bigger game than those games based on what we know Carolina has, based on what the conference that Carolina plays in, and the stakes that always come with going to the Dean Dome and playing a nationally televised primetime, major showdown game like this. And it's also, like we said, the start of a crazy month. So how ready are the Buckeyes to step onto a big stage after having only played at home? I think that's one of the big questions going into this game as far as how we think Ohio State might play and whether they're going to come back still undefeated. This is the longest home stretch to open the year since 2012. That year, Ohio State opened 8-0, all at home, before going to Kansas and losing on December 10th. I'm going to run down the schedule real quick for you, though. They opened with Wright State at home, number 214 in KenPom. They beat Florida at home, number 10. They beat Jackson State at home, 332. North Florida, 186. VMI, 274. Valpo, 138. Duke, 19. And that was, they beat Duke 85-63. I mean, what a night. And then Texas Pan American, 312. And then they went to Kansas, number 4, and lost 78-67. And the leading scorer in that game, the box score's not in there. Never mind. Oh, now there's the box score. Nope. Still an empty link. I don't have the leading score in that game. Someone can yell it, and we'll bring it up on the next podcast maybe. But this is going to be a significant challenge for Ohio State because we don't know how some of these guys are going to react on the big stage. I do think I'm obviously very interested to see of everybody else. I want to know what DJ Carton's going to do on a stage like this because I think we've seen in his game that it seems to suit him. I think his game sets him up to be a guy that you want on a stage like this. He's got the right style to think that he's going to come into a game like this and not be overwhelmed by it, but instead is really going to have the opportunity to take advantage of it and to use it to further himself and his team. He talked about that a little bit after the game on Friday. I will be writing about that for Wednesday's paper. You'll see that on Buckeye Extra. Maybe late Tuesday night, but if not late Tuesday night, first thing Wednesday morning, because I did talk to him about that and what he thinks about the chance to go up against Cole Anthony. I think that's another intriguing matchup. Anthony was the number 4 recruit nationally. He was just kind of a tick ahead of Carton in all the rankings. DJ finished, I think, 25th in the national rankings. Those guys are going to battle. Those guys know each other. I mean, they've played AAU ball against each other. They pay attention to that stuff. They know who's ranked and who's not and where people fit in the standings, and that's going to be an unbelievable matchup. Holtman was asked after the game on Friday, and there were only 4 people that covered that game on Friday. Everybody else was in Ann Arbor for the football game. So shout out to those of you that support the Dispatch and that care enough about Ohio State men's basketball to make sure that we have a reporter who's dedicated to this, because anybody that writes anything out of that game on Friday night that was not part of the Lantern or the Associated Press or myself are getting it off the questions that basically I asked. And that's, I don't say that to toot my own horn. I say that to let you know that we value the coverage of this program and we value those of you that subscribe. So again, thank you to those of you that do. But this is one of the things that I was talking with DJ Carton after the game, was about the chance to play Cole Anthony. And yes, he is excited about it. He kind of downplayed it a little bit, but you can tell this means something to him to get a chance to go on a stage like this, compete against a guy like that. You can watch the full video on our YouTube channel. If you search for the Columbus Dispatch on YouTube, I posted the whole interview up there. So you can go check that out. Holtman was asked, what sort of things you do to try to help a team that's as young as Ohio State is prepare for what it's going to face. I mean, the Dean Dome it's a heck of a place to go see a game. And Holtman said, I thought this was interesting because, there's the usual answer of, well, there's nothing you really can do. You just kind of got to experience it. You try to have practice, blah, blah, blah. But he said, we'll give them some practical things they can do to be at their best. He said the importance of staying focused on the moment, controlling your breathing, simple things that are required in those moments where you're on the road, you know there's a lot of eyeballs watching you, and you're playing a great team, there's negative energy around you. He said, really outside of the Cedarville game, which is funny to think because Cedarville did bring a crowd to Valley City Arena. He said, That was such a tremendous crowd they had. We've always had positive energy in these games. How we're going to deal with facing negative energy is obviously going to be a big thing for Ohio State. So I just thought that was interesting, talking about like controlling your breathing and staying focused on the moment. Those are some of the things that they're going to harp on with the guys heading into the game on Wednesday night. I think that this game's going to come down to, in a lot of ways, it's going to come down to limiting Cole Anthony. He's had a phenomenal start to his collegiate career. When you look at he burst onto the scene with when the ACC opened with conference games. So in his first game out against Notre Dame, he goes off for 34 points. He was 6 of 11 from 3, 6 of 13 from 2. He was unbelievable. And since then, I mean, he obviously, you're not expecting a freshman to put up 34 a game. He had 20 against UNC Wilmington. He had 28 against Gardner-Webb. And then since then, he had 9 against Elon. Shout out to Mike Schrage. He had 13 against Alabama. He had 22 in the loss to Michigan, and then he had 19 in a win against Oregon. So he's continuing to play at a high level, not at a 34 points a night level. He's hit 17 threes on the season, and 6 of them came in that first game. I think that a lot of what Carolina is trying to do just sort of involves keeping or using him as much as possible. They're relying on him at a very high rate. And he's, I think, third in the KenPom National Player of the Year race at this point. I don't know if they can rely on him to just be everything to beat Ohio State. They obviously have, it's Carolina. I mean, they're number 7 team in the country. They have significant talent, whether it's Armando Bacot or Garrison Brooks. I mean, they've got guys on this team that can score and that can do things. But I think that with Carolina, it's got to start with Cole Anthony and trying to shut him down as best you can. I think that I would assume that falls on Luther Muhammad to start the game, but I'm sure we'll see some DJ Carton, Cole Anthony showdown go on as that game goes on. And I, for one, am here for that. I can't wait to see that. CJ Walker does have some experience against Carolina. He's played them twice when he was at Florida State. He was 1-1. As a freshman, he had 6 points in 14 minutes and a 96-83 road loss. So he has played in the Dean Dome before. And then as a sophomore, they got Carolina at home. He had 18 points in 23 minutes in an 81-80 win. He was 4-6 from 3 in that game. So he's got a little bit of experience there, a little bit of familiarity. Looking to see. I think that having him next to DJ and helping him get his feet underneath him a little bit, I think that's going to be invaluable for Ohio State in this game. So another benefit to having a guy who's been through the rigors of the ACC and has been through the rigors of a college basketball season at a high level to help a young, talented freshman out. I think you'll see some dividends from that in this game. I do want to mention, I tweeted out the link earlier, and I'll probably retweet it here at least one more time between now and when the game starts, but how many years ago? It's 2019, so geez, going on 3 years ago. I did oral history lookbacks on Ohio State's 2006-2007 season, the year that they obviously lost to Florida in the national championship. And I caught up with various players on the team throughout the season to retell stories of pivotal moments and pivotal games in the season. And when Ohio State went to Carolina that season, that's a game that I was actually at that game. I was covering that game. And it was an unbelievable atmosphere to be at. I mean, one of the best regular season college basketball games that I can remember ever seeing. And obviously ended up with a 98-89 North Carolina win. But I mean, you had Daquan Cook in there just drilling shots, and Ron Lewis went off for 30. It was an unbelievable night. And I have a significantly lengthy oral history piece about that game on the Dispatch's website. It's not on Buckeye Extra because I think it actually predates Buckeye Extra, at least like Buckeye Extra, the website on its own. But I would encourage you to go read that, because I was going back through it today and just had so much fun reliving some of the conversations and what the guys remember about that game. For example, when I was talking to some of the players, it turns out that like leading into that game, Thad Matta, before the game, Greg Oden told me that the film session with Thad for that game was we watched Old School or Wedding Crashers before the national championship game. And then I was just getting my stories a little bit mixed there. But so this is from my interview with Mark Titus in this. He said, Coach Mata called a film session the night before the game to refresh us on North Carolina's plays and players and all that. And he just shows the meatloaf scene from Wedding Crashers instead of showing any plays. Everyone was just dying laughing. He gets up and he was like, this is what I want you guys to do. Just go have fun. No one thinks you have any chance of winning. Greg's not healthy. We're the youngest team I've ever coached. I don't want you to overthink anything. Just go play basketball and have fun. It's a long season and we'll be fine. I asked Thad about that. This is the next thing in the story. Thad, I don't remember that. I'm sure I did, but I don't remember that. That to me is one of the all-time greatest scenes of movies I've ever seen. And then Greg Oden. I remember talking to Greg and him going, Ma, the meatloaf! And I mean, it's just, there's a lot of great little things like that in these oral histories. I put a lot of time into them that year. They were really fun to write. Hopefully, maybe go back and float down memory lane a little bit and check that out, because that's all I can think of now is going back to this game and just thinking how unbelievable that atmosphere was in 2006. And now 13 years later, I'm expecting another great game. Hopefully it lives up to the billing. So two more real quick things, and then I'm going to get out of here before this gets too long. We do have basketball interviews today here in about 2 hours. So check Buckeye Extra later today. I'm looking to get some an update on Musa Diallo. I've had a couple of you ask me about him. I don't have anything new on him as far as where he stands in his progression to get back on the court, but we'll have little updates here in the next couple of hours, so make sure you're checking for that. But I did want to point out Rivals.com's Corey Evans, who is a great recruiting writer. He was at the Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta, and he had this to say about Eugene Brown, who signed for Ohio State in their 2020 class. He wrote, Eugene Brown is going to be awesome at Ohio State. Chris Holtmann is working wonders in Columbus, and that won't change once Brown enrolls. Finally healthy and for a prolonged period, the four-star wing has begun to show some dog on the playing floor, which, coinciding with his shooting prowess, athleticism, and defensive potential, makes for one of the better wing prospects found within the 2020 class. Brown will make shots early and often for the Buckeyes and is another piece to build with towards a Big Ten title. So just a little status update there on Eugene Brown as he goes into his senior season. And then I also want to throw this out there to the listening audience, because I'm not sure what to do. I had someone suggest to me, a good friend of mine, that when I got the Ohio State basketball job, they said, you should take a selfie of yourself after every game. Like, just sort of commemorate each game that you cover, because we cover every game. And I thought, you know what? That might be a fun idea. So I've been doing that, and I've missed just a few games in the first season where I maybe didn't remember, just stressed on deadline or whatever, and then I'm driving home and I forgot my picture. But I now have 143 pictures of myself after a game with like the scoreboard or the Jumbotron or whatever in the background, and I don't know what to do with these. I mean, other than like, I could put together like a slideshow that would be like really depressing, just watching myself age a little bit over the course of now going on 5 years. But if you have a suggestion for what I should do with all of these, I would like to hear it. I'm going to crowdsource this a little bit, because I mean, at some point this slideshow is just going to get insanely long. I'm just going to keep doing this because I've been doing it long enough, but I don't know what the end goal is here. So if you have an idea, let me know, and you can send that to me, or any other questions, comments, love notes, hate mail, otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you for listening this far into the podcast. Thank you to Patrick for putting this all together. I will be back with you before the end of the week, probably on location from Chapel Hill, breaking down a top 10 matchup between number 6 Ohio State and number 7 North Carolina. So until next time, thanks. The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number 1 replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.